The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit grant you peace, joy, and hope. Amen. As was mentioned earlier, we'll be focusing on a portion of our reading from 2 Corinthians, in particular just verse 14, which I share once again. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a fairly awkward situation for me today. Awkward because I'm going to tell you something or talk to you about something that I really don't have answers for, that I'm convinced of and firmly believe in, and yet I can't explain it to you, and not berating you at all, you're not capable of comprehending either. We're kind of in the same boat in that regard when we consider the true God. The true God is not something made up by man, not some great power that we can devise, not some volcano God or some earthquake God. Oh no, it's the God of the Scriptures, a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I can't explain that to you. And while I could try, none of us would be able to fully comprehend that there could be three in one. No, I know it's not going to. You're not going to find the word Trinity in the Bible. Some people say, hey, triune's not listed in the Bible. Well, true, the words are not there, but the teaching is there, and the existence is there, because that's what God shares with us countless of times in the Scriptures, letting us know Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So if I'm not here to explain it, which we can't, and by the way, it's a good reason I can't explain. Who wants a God you can understand? Who wants a God you can put your mind around? If that's our God, he's too small to do us any good. Oh, we have a great and almighty and a powerful God, just as we confessed in the Athanasian Creed. One who has created all things, just as we learned in the book of Genesis, who by his mere word brought all things into being. This is the true God. This is the God we serve. And today, we focus on the blessings of that triune God, the blessings he brings to us as he brings us his peace, his grace, his love, and his fellowship. We focus on the gifts of the Trinity to you and to me. And the first one that's listed, he says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the church, a lot of times, we use terms that we're familiar with all the time because we grew up knowing them. We know about grace, called undeserved love. But then we hear the word mercy and we might say, well, what's the difference? Well, there is. You see, grace, if I were to define it for you, grace is getting what we don't deserve. You see, we're sinners. That's just the truth. We disobey God. We would have nothing to do with God. And the wages of sin is death. That's what we have earned. That's what we have coming. We might think that we can just write it off and say, oh, my bad, or excuse me, please. Oh, no, the wages of sin is death. That's what we have coming. Grace says, oh, no, I know what you've got coming, but here is what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give something to you that you have not earned or deserved. I'm going to give you my love and my peace. I'm going to give you my presence, my fellowship, all of things that we're going to discuss here in just moments. Yes, the grace of God. That's important for us to know. Because we can get pretty down on ourselves sometimes, can't we? We can get pretty upset with ourselves, like the Apostle Paul who said, the things I want to do, that I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, that I keep doing. We can get frustrated like the Apostle Paul. But he also knew what grace was. He was a persecutor of the church. He put the believers in Jesus Christ in jail. We're not sure, maybe even had some of them tortured and killed. But yet, God took him, didn't get him what he, give him what he had coming, but gave him grace. Paul always knew that grace. He shared that grace, saying it is by grace we've been saved. God's gift to us. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful blessing. This blessing itself, by the way, has often been called the apostolic blessing or the Trinitarian blessing. because we see, as God has mentioned each time, for all the gifts that he gives to his people, he gives us grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, and the love of God. Well, we all have an idea what love is, right? I think too often we confuse love and romance. They're close, but they're not the same. Romance is doing things that show love, doing them in a special way that make that relationship extra special. Love goes deeper than that. Love, and actually the love here, that's we many of us are familiar with the word agape. That's a sacrificing love, a caring love, a love that doesn't expect anything in return, but is always giving and always sharing. That's the love that God has for us. It's the love he had as he created this world. What? For our enjoyment, for us to live in. He created this world and it was good in every way from the very time of creation, providing us all that we needed to survive, all that we needed to eat and to drink. Yes, this is the God who made it good for us, put us in charge of all this. This is the God who, when mankind sinned, when they failed to obey a simple commandment of God, don't eat of that tree. That's how you're going to show that you love me and that I'm first and foremost in your life. Listen to me and obey me. When they ate of that tree, God very well could have said, that's it. I gave you all these good things. I gave you life. I gave you this wonderful garden to live in. I supplied you with all the food that you need, and that's how you repay me. That's how you live your life. And how many times can you look at each of us? It may not be a fruit off a tree that we've picked, but how often have we decided not to follow God, not to show our love for him, doing it our way, not loving one another as we ought, not loving others as we love ourselves, not living with the love of Christ within us. But what? God loved us right away. He promised Adam and Eve, I'll send a Savior. I will rescue you. I had no intention for you to die. Death was not part of the creation. Death was not part of the plan. But I will save you from that death, from that eternal separation from me. That was his love. A love that planned it even before the world was created. He knew that kind of love. That's an amazing love, isn't it? Oh, we can come up with the romance songs. Oh, I'll cross any raging river. I'll climb any high mountain. I'll go through fire for you, whatever it might be. God's love is greater than all of that. God's love to solve our situation involved sending his one and only son. A son who, in love for the Heavenly Father, fulfilled his will too. Remember the prayer he offered before Good Friday? Father, really, if there's any way to take this cup from me, please. But then he added, not my will, but yours be done. Such is the love of God for you. I believe we forget that too often. I believe that we sometimes get so taken up with all the problems that surround us and all the illnesses that are out there and all the troubles that we face and all the disagreements we have and all the arguments and how upset and the hatred that is there abounding among people, that we forget we are loved by God with a love that never ends, a love that never grows cold, a love that invites us to come into his presence to worship him, a love that says, you bring me your cares, your concerns, however great, however small, you bring them to me, I'll take care of them. Let me carry your burdens. So great is love. So great is love that even death on the cross would not turn him away. Think about it. How much did God love you and have to love you to sacrifice his own son? How much did the son have to love you and his heavenly father to give his life, to suffer the very pains of hell for sins he never committed, but you and I have regularly committed? You and I have turned our backs on him and have not loved God with our whole heart and soul and mind. The love of Christ is there. When Paul gave this final blessing, even as he talked to the Corinthians, had to talk to them harshly a couple times in the letter because they had failed in a number of ways, They have turned away, and he had to bring them back. He had to bring them to repentance, direct them and guide them. And what does he say? I want this blessing to be with you. I want what? The grace of God, giving what we don't deserve to each of us. And I want the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in that term, Lord Jesus Christ, what does the Apostle Paul do? He says, this is the Lord, the one who's in charge. Jesus is his name, but his name means one who saves. And Christ, the anointed one, the chosen one, put them all together in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that love, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God that involves that. The Father, the Son. They were evident at Jesus' baptism, weren't they? When Jesus was coming out of the water, being baptized by John, the dove descends, the Spirit descends in the form of a dove, and then this voice from heaven, this is my Son whom I love. Listen to him. Yeah, the one the Heavenly Father loved, cherished, his one and only. He sacrifices for you with that sacrificing agape love so that we know that we are cherished by the Most High. What a gift we have in the grace of God, in the love of God. And then what? In the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You and I wouldn't know any of this except for the power of the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't know about Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. We wouldn't know about the creation of God except that the Holy Spirit came into our lives and touched us in such a way that though we were dead in our trespasses and sin, we became alive in Christ. A new birth, new hope, new joys. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. He empowers us to become one with him, to have this fellowship. He knows who we are. He knows what we think. He knows what we think even before we think it. He knows what trouble we are. And yet loves us and brings us into fellowship. He wants us to be part of him, to be part with him, to be children of God, heirs of everlasting life, all by grace, all through faith. This is what God has done. The Holy Spirit empowers us to believe, to follow, to know him. Oh, I know. You know, you think about it, there are so many things we don't know. I'm not sure how all the electricity gets to our houses, gets to our buildings. I know that there are transformers and different power stations elsewhere, and I know there's a power plant burning coal and burning and using water or whatever they use to make the electricity, and I know they send it along the wires, but I don't know how it all works. But I believe when I flip the switch, it's going to go on, that there'll be light in the room. It's not that hard for me to believe, even though I don't fully understand it. There would be some that say, well, I can't understand the Trinity. I can't understand Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean we shouldn't believe in it. That's what's revealed to us in Scripture. Knowing this, think about it. Go back to our reading from Genesis chapter 1. Isn't it significant that we read when there was all things to be created? And God said, let us make mankind in our image. Our, us. Those are plurals, aren't they? He wasn't just talking to himself. He was talking to God, the triune God. And we see that. And the Lord brings that to us throughout the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit touches our lives that we can see this and say, wow, Lord, you've given me your true word, that word that doesn't change. That word that is not subject to election or public opinion or popular opinion. No, it's the word that is truth. It says, from now until we stand in glory, God loves us, has brought about a grace to us, and included us in fellowship with him. You know, in school, it was always important to be in the in-group, right? Everybody strived to be in the in-group, even though sometimes the in-group wasn't worth being in. And we always wanted to be accepted in many ways. And there were those that didn't accept everyone. turned away those that weren't like them, turned away those that maybe weren't as smart as they are or as popular as they are. Think of the holy, perfect God. How many times could he have dropped us? How many times could he say, well, I don't want them. I'm not associating with them. But unlike us, God opens up his arms of grace. In the parable of the prodigal son that Jesus offered, remember the father there? Remember the father who sees the son, this wayward son, this sinner from a distance, and runs to meet him and grabs him and just hugs him. So great his love. So great his mercy and his grace to his wandering son. Here, let's celebrate. He was lost and now he's found. He was dead and now he's alive. Oh, that's our love that we receive from God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No, be honest with you. I can't really explain it to you. There are all sorts of illustrations that we can use to talk about Trinity. We can talk about a candle, and there's the flame, and then there's the light, and then there's the heat. But truly, as we confess in the Athanasian Creed, they're all light, and they're all heat, and they're all... Can't explain that. Some have explained it like someone touching something, and they don't understand. You touch different parts, it all feels different. But it's all the same. We've used an equilateral triangle to sometimes say, look at that. It's all the same sizes. All the sides are the same. But each side, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a triangle all by itself, included in one triangle. You get my point? I can't explain it to you because each explanation, each human explanation, falls short of being able to fully explain the triune God. But I can tell you what the triune God has given, the blessings that he has provided: grace, love, fellowship to each of us. See, that's how Paul said goodbye to the Corinthians in the letter. He said, you know what? My prayer for you, and I'm going to say it's not just Paul's prayer, it's our prayer for all of us. He says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that undeserved love, getting what we don't deserve, the love of God, who in love saved us, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, who touched us so that we might be God's own, may it be with you all, Paul said. And may it be with us all, till we all, by the grace of God, through his love, join the fellowship in glory everlasting. Amen. And now may the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding keep your hearts and minds in true faith till we stand with Jesus in glory everlasting. Amen.